It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Good morning. You are listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio. Contrary to popular belief, I am not Sandy Rios. This is Abraham Hamilton, guest hosting for Sandy this morning. It is a pleasure and an honor to be with you. What a great day to be alive. I hope you guys all, and I trust you all, had a great Labor Day weekend, had a good time with friends and family. Hold them close, hug them tight. To really, really focus on what's important in our country. And I, for one, consider it a blessing to be able to live in the greatest country in the history of the world, United States of America. Good morning, everyone. As I said, Abraham Hamilton III in this morning for Sandy Rios. I want to start this show off this morning with, you know, the scripture says to give honor to whom honor is due. We were all confronted over the weekend with some news that results in a great sense of loss for all of us with the passing of Phyllis Schlafly. Ms. Schlafly died at the age of 92, and I just wanted to talk a bit about her this morning. I know many of you probably have your own memories of Phyllis Schlafly. I, for one, can tell you, let me start here. Because I know not many people know a little bit about my background or where I came from, but I was born and raised in New Orleans, Louisiana. I am an attorney. I am the public policy analyst here for the American Family Association now, but I grew up in a community, I'm sure many of you can imagine, that was a stronghold for progressive and liberal ideology. So as I grew up in the things of God, I also grew and my understanding of the world around me, the development of a biblical worldview, which ultimately burgeoned into conservative ideology, not to be confused with modern republicanism, but conservatism. And I can say for sure that Mrs. Schlafly's life and her service and her ministry impacted me personally and has also been a great benefit for my family. My wife has benefited tremendously from lots of the writings and the discussions and the speeches and the things that Phyllis Schlafly has done. So it is with a heavy heart that I discuss the passing of Phyllis Schlafly, who truly, truly, truly can be considered the first lady of conservatism. Ms. Schlafly was born in Missouri, on August 15th, 1924, just last month, she'd celebrated her 92nd birthday. She was an accomplished lawyer, activist, author, and mother of six. Phyllis Schlafly has been described as the embodiment of the ideal American woman. In 1963, the publisher of the St. Louis Globe Democrat put it this way: Phyllis Schlafly stands for everything that has made America great and for those things which will keep it that way. Ms. Schlafly enjoyed a rich, rich family life. She was married in 1949, and she and her late husband, Fred, shared 44 happy years together, as well as six children, 16 grandchildren, and three great-grandchildren. She was named one of the 100 most important women of the 20th century by the Ladies' Home Journal. And most recently, the godmother of the conservative movement is what she's referred to as by Breitbart. The godmother of the conservative movement led the charge against the Gang of Eight amnesty plan and President Obama's Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. Schlafly understood feminism not as a way to erase or wipe away the unique distinguishing features of women, but rather to embrace and encourage all of the special and wondrous things about womanhood. Whereas modern feminism teaches that a little girl is not so different from a little boy and that society should recognize no real difference between the two, Schlafly celebrated motherhood and femininity and perceived the differences amongst the sexes as something to be extolled rather than be repressed. And I just want to pause a little bit on that point because, I mean, she fought for this. I mean, I'm going to refer to it later. She served as an activist for nearly a quarter of all of America's history. I mean, that is amazing. And her unique contributions to the pro-family movement, and here specifically what I call authentic feminism, which is celebrating and elevating and really being able to worship God for the beauty of the unique and distinct functions of women in our society, as opposed to the modern feminist movement, which really is a push towards androgyny, if we want to be honest about it, to where there's no distinctions between males and females. Phyllis Schlafly stood as a beacon of light and a beacon of truth to highlight the fact that, listen, feminism shouldn't eradicate the distinctions between men and women. We should be able to celebrate them and to highlight them. And I would add, this is my own contribution to this discussion, the critical component of a genuine representation of the God-breathed feminine ideal is necessary in order for us to have the type of society that we need to have. You know, George Washington said in his farewell address that religion and morality are indispensable supports to the stabilization and the furthering of the American society. And he said, in vain would that man claim the virtue of patriotism who would work to subvert it. One of the key touchstones of the Judeo-Christian ethic is the fact that God made them both male and female. Without genuine, authentic, robust, vigorous representations of God-ordained femininity combined with God-ordained masculinity, we have a formula for chaos. That's how we end up with getting, you know, our women sent to the front lines of the military. You know, that's how we get to, you know, a president who wants to impose social experimentation on our military and think it's a good idea for military readiness. You know, abandoning the biblical created order and abandoning the things that Phyllis Schlafly fought for is a recipe for destruction. It's a recipe for destruction. And Phyllis Schlafly saw this many, 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 many years ago. Let me go on. She was, Phyllis Schlafly I'm talking about, a vocal proponent for empowering all Americans. And she fought tirelessly against the social institutions that teach the absolute false narrative that women are victims of the patriarchy and that it's up to new laws in the Constitution to remedy this second-class citizenship of women. And this quote made by Phyllis Schlafly is one of the things that has been a really served as a ministry point for my family, my wife in particular. Phyllis Schlafly said, American women are the most fortunate class of people who ever lived on the face of the earth. She said this in 2012. We, Phyllis Schlafly again, we can do anything we want to do. Powerful words. Powerful words. And I'm going to go on, and this may seem extensive to some, but I think it's important for us to be able to celebrate those who have fought the good fight, who have stood in the trenches, I mean, for decades and decades. Schlafly's life was a true testament to what she preached. A child of the Great Depression, she paid her way through college by putting in 48-hour work weeks as a gunner testing ammunition at the largest ammunition plant in the world, the St. Louis Ordnance Plant. Schlafly tested 30 and 50 caliber ammunition for accuracy, penetration, velocity, and aircraft function before the government would accept the ammunition for the war effort during World War II. You know, how you like that for, you know, a lot of the modern feminists and their call for gun control? It seems like Phyllis Schlafly adhered to the Texan definition of gun control, using both hands. Despite the rigors of working a full-time job, working the midnight to 8 a.m. shift at the ordnance plant, Schlafly still managed to finish her schooling in just 3 years, graduating from Washington University in St. Louis with honors. She then went on to get her master's degree in government from Harvard University in 1945 and her Juris Doctorate degree from Washington University Law School in 1978. I mean, this is a woman, and I think one thing that's important, what we try to do in my family is provide character sketches for our children. This is a woman who I think you could take her life and make a character sketch out of it to convey to all of our children, especially little girls, the types of things that can be accomplished when we commit our way, first of all, to the Lord, and secondarily, to serving our country in various facets. Schlafly was active in politics, and I said this earlier, for more than one quarter of all American history. She began volunteering for the Republican Party in 1945 when she worked as a campaign manager for Claude Bakewell, a successful Republican candidate for Congress. Schlafly attended every single Republican National Convention since 1952 and has been the center of nearly every major political battle since then. Beginning in the 50s and 60s, Schlafly was instrumental in helping to launch the anti-communist movement by forming 5,000 study groups throughout American homes to inform grassroots voters about the evils of communism. As an activist, Schlafly seemed more driven by her mission to educate conservatives, train them, and stand up for them, and to let the grassroots be heard. I'm going to emphasize this later, but one of the things that Phyllis Schlafly's life should represent for us is that we can win. We can win. She, in her activism, took on some of the most entrenched manifestations and iterations of political establishment ideology that ever existed and prevailed nevertheless. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to get to that in a second. An advocate for truth and the free dissemination of information, Schlafly spoke frequently of the need for news. I'm sorry. She spoke frequently of the need for news people who put out the truth instead of the packaged truth that the strategists have written. I mean, is that not the case? Is that not the truth? You know, we've kind of moved past, you know, people we know in terms of worldview ideologies, postmodernism. We have literally entered the post-journalistic era of media, to where we no longer have journalists who pride themselves on being news reporters. You know, historically, journalists would be taught that a good story is one where you never know the writer's opinion. Well, now we've entered the era of advocacy journalism, which I refer to as the post-journalistic news era, to where we don't have journalism anymore. We have people who have a goal and an agenda, and they utilize their media platforms to advocate for their agenda. When she found such truth-telling to be lacking in corporate media, Schlafly assumed the mantle herself. The Phyllis Schlafly Report, her monthly newsletter designed to keep conservatives informed on the pressing issues of the day, just entered its 50th year of publication with more than 600 reports published. Schlafly has been described as the nation's best pamphleteer since Thomas Paine. Her fabled foray onto the national political stage began with the publication of her 1964 classic, A Choice, Not an Echo. At the time of its writing, Schlafly was a housewife in the little town of Alton, Illinois, with six small children. Recognizing that it was unlikely anyone would publish her book, she opted to publish it herself and sell it out of her garage. A huge success, the book ultimately sold 3 million copies and inspired a generation of conservatives, becoming the definitive text delineating between the battle lines between the conservative grassroots and the Republican Party elites. I have a lot more to say about Phyllis Schlafly. This time is going by so fast. I'll try to move a little bit quicker because I have several stories I want to get to, but it's important that we take this moment to give honor where honor is due. This is Abraham Hamilton in for Sandy Rios. Stay with me.
On October 6th and 7th, College of the Ozarks in beautiful Branson, Missouri will host the Pensmore National Symposium on Religious Liberty. Confirmed speakers include Dr. Ben Carson, Liberty Institute President Kelly Shackelford, and from the American Family Association, Abraham Hamilton III.
The founders enshrine religious liberty as the first among the freedoms protected in the Bill of Rights because they recognize that the prosperity of the American Republic rose or fell with its religious freedom.
As our nation spirals into a deeper moral pit, this event may reconnect attendees with the intents of the Founding Fathers. It's high time Christians did something to preserve our liberties before they're lost forever. The Pensmore National Symposium on Religious Liberty is designed to inspire participants with a greater resolve through better understanding of the issue. The cost is $50 per person, and student admission is free. More information is available at afr.net.
Most personal fitness trainers agree. After a particularly painful workout or athletic exertion, when your muscles are sore and painful, the best thing to do is walk it out. Engage in some gentle exercise to keep your muscles limber and to allow oxygen and blood flow to do their healing work. The worst thing to do is to do nothing, to let the fear of pain immobilize you. It's the same in the spiritual life. If you have been wounded by a painful experience, walk by faith immediately, gently, but resolutely. Stay in motion so God can rub the healing balm of His faithful love into your soul. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's healing power on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. How would you like to finish your degree online? Truett McConnell University makes that possible with their top-notch online program. You can even earn a master's in theology. For 70 years, Truett McConnell University has been preparing students to fulfill God's high calling on their lives, on campus or online. A degree that can not only change your life, but also your workplace. Truett.edu is the website. That's Truett.edu. I did not know William Ziegler, but I sure wish I had. Mr. Ziegler was a retired firefighter who lived in New Orleans. He died the other day, 69 years old. His obituary was published in the Times-Picayune, and folks, it's a classic. He had four children, five grandkids, and loved potted meat. Mr. Ziegler joined the Navy, quickly realized he wasn't too fond of being bossed around, but he fought a war, was discharged honorably with many ribbons and medals. He was a firefighter for 25 years until one day he decided it made more sense to run away from the burning buildings. So he retired. His family opined that he died on purpose to avoid having to make a decision about the upcoming presidential election. I think we can all relate. But William Ziegler's loved ones saved the most poignant observation for last. He will be greatly missed. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. This is Sandy Rios in the Morning. I am your guest host this morning, Abraham Hamilton III. We were talking about the conservative icon who could probably rightly be described as the first lady of the conservative movement, Phyllis Schlafly, who passed away over the weekend. I was talking a little bit about her legacy, and I want to get back to that and try to wrap that up appropriately, because it's very easy to forget how significant Mrs. Schlafly was in the fight that many of us have come to recognize as being absolutely necessary for the longevity of our nation. I want to go on to explain that Phyllis Schlafly, is perhaps best known for launching the pro-family movement. I mean, you could rightly say probably that without Phyllis Schlafly, the pro-family movement would either be non-existent or be far less effective than it is currently. She's best known perhaps for launching the pro-family movement, which began with her decade-long crusade against the agenda of radical feminists and their efforts to push the so-called Equal Rights Amendment. This amendment had passed Congress in 72 as part of a new wave of feminism and had been sent to the states for ratification. Think about that. we think now in modern times, at least in right now, how difficult it would be to have an amendment proposed and passed by Congress, an amendment to the Constitution. Well, in 1972, the radical feminists accomplished just that feat. And Phyllis Schlafly led the fight to defeat the ratification effort of this constitutional amendment. The ERA, as it was referred to, had passed Congress in 72 as part of the new wave of feminism and had been sent to the states for ratification. But because of Schlafly's efforts, it ultimately fell 3 states short of being added to the Constitution. Think about that. Without Phyllis Schlafly's work, we probably would be living in a completely different America, different for the worse, I would mind you, than we're living in right now. A lot of this radical sexual deviancy agenda would probably be further along the trajectory than it is now. I mean, this Equal Rights Amendment was basically a Trojan horse to enshrine gender discrimination as an additional protected class in constitutional law as a part of the U.S. Constitution. Don't forget that the countries, for example, in Europe are much further down the road toward the deviancy than we are. Now, it's still bad right now, but it probably would be a lot worse if it wasn't for Phyllis Schlafly. President Reagan described Schlafly's campaign against the ERA as brilliant and praised her work as an example to all those who would struggle for an America that is prosperous and free. At the time she began the fight, Phyllis Schlafly says, "We had everybody against us. 3 presidents, 3 first ladies, all of Congress, every governor, the media, Hollywood, and we beat them all." I mean, I don't know about you, but when I read that, that makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. Think about that. She said when they launched their campaign to defeat the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment, there were 3 presidents, 3 first ladies, all of Congress, every governor, the media, and Hollywood against her, and they beat them all. She goes on, "We proved that the grassroots can win if they get together and make up their mind to do it. The grassroots can rise up and defeat all the powers that be." Following that victory over the ERA, Schlafly in 1976 went to work to transform the Republican Party into the pro-life party. She succeeded in putting a pro-life plank in every Republican platform adopted at every RNC since then. Man, I'm telling you, we all who are conservatives should mourn the passing of Phyllis Schlafly, because without Phyllis Schlafly, who knows where we would be right now? And I would encourage all of us to take her life as an example as to what we can do when we set our hearts, stand on biblical principle, and work together. We can win. We can win. We just have to stay in the fray, stay in the fight, and continue the work. So as the scripture says, it's critically important to give honor where honor is due. And I wanted to just to take this morning to give the appropriate honor that I believe is due to Phyllis Schlafly, who just recently passed at 92 years old. So I pray that her family be strengthened as they mourn her passing, and that the Lord would raise up more Phyllis Schlaflys to fill in the gap and fill the void that now has been left by her. And I know that there are more people, maybe somebody who's listening to me right now, who at a minimum say, man, maybe I need to learn more about Phyllis Schlafly, get into, learn, read some of her writings, learn more about her stories, to be encouraged and spurred on to picking up the baton in your day and in my day, so that we can continue the fight that she launched. I have this other story here, and I'm going to segue from this, and we're going to get to some presidential stuff in a minute, but I just wanted to bring this story to bear, because something that I'm known, people that know me know, one of the things that I find extremely grieving is what I call, and this is a technical term, the pansification of the American society. Look at this story. No, this is the headline, quote, "No more valedictorians. They breed unhealthy competition." You can find this story at onenewsnow.com. One News Now is a great source for news and information, but not just news and information. It's news and information from a biblical worldview. But the headline again reads, "No more valedictorians. They breed unhealthy competition." Greater Clark County Public School District Superintendent Andrew Mellon, in Indiana, by the way, is where this is, announced that his county school board is considering a plan to eliminate the valedictorian system because it creates unhealthy competition among students. Now, this goes completely against the example we just talked about with Phyllis Schlafly, who's working a midnight to eight shift while putting herself through college. But this school district superintendent is saying that having a valedictorian creates unhealthy competition among students. Look at what he says. "When students are competing for the valedictorian and the salutatorian, they're trying to find ways to maneuver through the system to try and get the best grades they can possibly get, as opposed to taking the coursework that's truly in their own best interest," Mellon told the local television station in Jeffersonville, Indiana. So now I want to say something. If you have students that, because they want to be the Val of the Sal, that they're taking bird courses, you know, they're taking classes that, you know, like, you know, basket weaving and things like that, that's one thing. But I don't think this is what the superintendent is talking about. What is unhealthy competition among students? Unhealthy competition. My concern, ladies and gentlemen, is that we have the pansification and the wussifying of our nation. We're making pansies out of our kids, man. What happened to wanting to strive to be the best, having pride in becoming number one? You know, working hard, busting your tail so that you can have the sash around your neck on graduation day. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Nothing's wrong with that. But here you have a superintendent of the school system saying that it's unhealthy competition. And Todd Starnes at Fox News picked up on this, and he says, listen, and he agreed with me, saying that, okay, it's one thing if you have students picking, you know, bird courses just to fly through to try to get all A's. But what are the useful classes that he, the superintendent of the school district in Indiana, what are the useful classes he would want them to take? Would it be, you know, shop or mechanics, which could be very useful in later in life? Or are there classes along the lines of the textual appeal of Tupac Shakur, or interrogating gender, centuries of dramatic cross-dressing? I mean, come on. The superintendent in Indiana, and I want to say the county again, Greater Clark County Public Schools, and they're debating this beginning today. So if you're in that area, Clark County, Indiana, you probably want to pay attention to the superintendent's and the school district's debate that is going on right now. Because the main purpose of his reasoning was this. He proposed to honor more kids instead of honoring the best and second best academic achievers in the school. Here's his quote. "We've got all these great students that work very hard and become very distinguished in their academic career. And we want to be able to recognize more of those students at the end of a given year." You know what that is, ladies and gentlemen? And I wish I could take credit for coining this phrase, but Todd Starnes beat me to it. That is an example of what he calls this chronic disease called PTS. You want to know what PTS is? Participation trophy syndrome. Everybody gets a trophy just for participating. Everybody's doing great. We don't want to just acknowledge the valedictorian and the salutatorian. All the kids work hard. Nonsense. Nonsense. The biggest problem with the participation trophy syndrome is that it cripples kids when it comes to real life. Newsflash, you don't get a trophy for participating in real life. If you get in business, you don't get clients and customers and revenue and profit just for trying. In life, you don't get a trophy just for trying. In law school, I didn't get a diploma just for enrolling. I didn't get my JD just for showing up to class. What are we doing with our kids? Participation trophy syndrome. If you have young kids at the park, everybody gets a trophy. Well, how do you instill in them the desire to work hard and to prevail? And listen, I'm not coming at this from some pie-in-the-sky ivory tower. I'm coming at this from a position of a person who didn't grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth. You know, those who know me, I began my legal career as a criminal prosecutor. But I'm sad to say, I didn't see my first dead body when I began prosecuting homicide cases in courtrooms. You can't tell people that are coming from disparate backgrounds that you get a trophy just for showing up. We have to instill in them the value of work and hard work and being rewarded for your hard work. The school district will discuss the change on September 6th. So Todd Starnes reacted and said, well, that means that the PTS disease is only in the incubation stage. Symptoms of the participation trophy syndrome may vary depending on the seriousness of the outbreak. However, most of the infected typically receive a trophy or gold star. We have to be aware of these kinds of things because we have to recognize when things are helping or hurting our children. Transitioning away from honoring the valedictorian and a salutatorian in our graduations at our high schools is not going to help them. We are more concerned about using the school system to create self-esteem when really that's the parents' jobs. The school should stick to the jobs of educating and let the parents work on self-esteem. I'm not saying they should be hostile and completely ignore self-esteem, but come on. You know, we don't want to have a valedictorian and a salutatorian because it hurts the feelings of all the students who are not the valedictorian and the salutatorian. Come on. The same thing is filtering its way out in Kentucky and in North Carolina and in other states. Well, some of them are trading in the traditional valedictorian-salutatorian arrangement for the three-tiered Latin system where you have summa cum laude graduates, magna cum laude, and not thank you, laude. That was the other one I was thinking. I couldn't think of the – is magna, summa – what's the last one? It slipped my mind. I got so caught up in my rant. I have it here in the story. Can't think of it, but I'll flip to it and get it. I don't want to have you guys waiting on me to get to it. But even in that, when you have, you know, summa cum laude and magna cum laude, that's what it was, graduates, there's still going to be somebody who's number one. There's still going to be somebody who's number two. So why not just add that to the discussion as opposed to getting rid of the sal and the val? I mean, it's just another example of how a mere generation after Ronald Reagan stood and said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall, to where you have over half of the Democratic Party primary voters who are voting for a self-described socialist. You want to wonder how we get there? Things like this, to where, you know, participation trophy syndrome sets in and everybody gets a gold star. And listen, I'm not against helping kids with self-esteem, but I am against crippling children for the future. The world isn't like that, ladies and gentlemen, and you guys know that. You're up this morning, most of you are probably going to work. You know, you don't get a paycheck just for showing up. If you tried to just show up, you probably wouldn't have the job very long. If you're an entrepreneur, you don't get clients just for hanging up your shingle. It takes hard work. It takes hard work. And it's things like this that just causes me to reconsider. You know, and Abraham Lincoln said it himself, that the greatest threat to America is not invasion from abroad, but it's implosion from within. And when we have people within our own nation advocating for these types of things, it sets the stage for the continued pansification, and the softening of the American populace. Well, man, that's music already. This music is disrespectful music. I didn't even get close to what I want to talk about here. Maybe I'm disrespecting myself by talking too much. But this is Abraham Hamilton III. I'm in for Sandy Rios. After the break, we're going to get into some election talk. Both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton cross paths in Ohio. Hillary Clinton, for some reason, can't seem to control her coughing. I mean, it's a lot going on here. And then we got to talk about hammers, iPads, and Blackberries. All of this coming up next on Sandy Rios in the Morning. Stay with us.
On the first day of our tour of Israel, we will stand on the Mount of Olives and look out over the old city of Jerusalem. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. March 9 through 17, we'll be going to Israel, the Holy Land. This is 2017, of course. We'll be flying from New York City, JFK Airport, direct to Tel Aviv, and then we'll begin our 9-day tour of Israel, including Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Jericho, Tiberias, Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and all the places you've read about since you were a child in the Bible. For more information on this tour, you can order a brochure by calling us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5. Also, you can visit the website twholyland.com.
This is Brian Fisher of Focal Point. A historian once said that the laws of a nation emerge from its culture, and its culture emerges from its religious values. In other words, if we want cultural renewal and righteous laws, we must experience a spiritual awakening in our society. That's why every day on Focal Point, we talk about spiritual renewal, cultural renewal, and righteous public policy. Please join us.
Focal Point with Brian Fisher, weekdays from 1 till 3 Central on AFR Talk.
It's our first liberty, freedom of religion. An easy way to show your support for the First Amendment is with the Freedom of Religion buttons from the American Family Association. They're conversation starters and demonstrate what it means to have religious freedom in America. They're also a way to bring attention to how the First Amendment is under assault today. It needs support now more than ever. Get a pack of Freedom of Religion buttons at afastore.net.
Forget watching the presidential race. Come to Washington, D.C. and experience it. From September 9th through 11th, Donald Trump and other conservatives will be teaming up with FRC Action and thousands of Americans to bring real change to Washington. You can too. You'll be hearing from leading voices like Dr. James Dobson, John Voight, Bill Bennett, Phil Robertson, Alan West, Oliver North, FRC President Tony Perkins, and many more. If you're frustrated by how Washington's spending your money and undermining your values, this is the place to be. You'll learn how to transform your state on issues like religious liberty, life, marriage, judges, and radical Islam. Registration is only $119 for adults, and scholarships are available for students. The November elections are right around the corner, so this is one weekend you won't want to miss. Tickets are going fast, so log on to valuesvotersummit.org today. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. America's lost its original Iron Lady, a title Phyllis Schlafly deserved like Britain's Margaret Thatcher for being in equal parts tough as nails and classily feminine. I had the privilege of knowing and working with Phyllis during the last 3 decades of her enormously productive and influential 92 years. Phyllis's prodigious work ethic, reflected in some 10 books and truly countless commentaries, radio programs, TV appearances, speeches, and other good works, helped inform and shape generations of American policies and politics. Particularly appreciated were Phyllis Schlafly's extraordinarily knowledgeable and vociferous support for the practice of peace through strength, the fielding of a modern and credible U.S. nuclear deterrent, and keeping women out of ground combat and the draft. Her marvelous organization, Eagle Forum, will continue to carry forward her flame in these and other areas, but she will be sorely missed. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You are listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. However, my name is not Sandy Rios. This is Abraham Hamilton III in for Sandy this morning. I want to get right into it. Over this Labor Day weekend, actually even on Labor Day, both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton crisscrossed some of the battleground states over the Labor Day weekend. So much so, even Tim Kaine was found saying this: it's kind of interesting to have all the planes here on the same tarmac. Just shows you how important Ohio is. Can you imagine that? Hillary Clinton, who now has just broken out the plane that she's using. It is a Boeing 737 with about 100 seats for passengers and crew. And she even spent some time taking questions from reporters on the plane. And it's amazing because now more and more people are beginning to see what's going on with Hillary Clinton. She seems to go into these coughing spells and is unable to recover from them. I have a clip I want to share with you if we have it ready. All right, go ahead and play it.
Happy, happy Labor Day. When we were trying to figure out where we could be, we all said, let's go to Cleveland. And I want to thank Congresswoman Marsha Fudge for hosting us. I've been talking so... Every time I think about Trump, I get allergic. Boy, we have 63 days to go.
Now, that was a clip that was about a minute and 7 seconds long, but that coughing spell literally went on about 4 minutes, over 4 minutes of her, Hillary Clinton I'm talking about, being unable to gather herself and come back and continue her speech. And she made the quip about being allergic to Trump, but man, it's very curious. I saw... that was one of several clips over the weekend, and I won't play them all for time reasons here, but I saw a clip in New York where she had this spell that went on 2 or 3 minutes where it was uncontrollable. And if you heard the people in the crowd, they tried to start chanting, Hillary, Hillary, when she's unable to recover. And what you couldn't see, because this is over the radio, of course, she's drinking water repeatedly, and she unrolls what appears to be some kind of little pill or something, and you see this same routine followed. I mean, in one of the clips, somebody immediately when she begins to cough, and maybe it's a cough drop, I don't know what it is, but they come up and hand it to her. And during the speech in New York, the same thing. She could not stop coughing. Then, and that clip we just played for you was yesterday in Cleveland, Ohio. This is not something that happened a long time ago. That was yesterday in her speech in Cleveland. And she also took questions from reporters on the new plane she's using. And even during her question and answer session on the plane, she gets up from the reporters because as they're asking questions, she begins coughing again. And it makes you wonder what is going on. When I watched these clips over the weekend, it made me think back to, if you can remember, during the Democratic Party's presidential primaries, during the debates with Bernie Sanders, when she just left the stage for an extended period of time, a long time. Then she came back after, you know, an extended period of time, and even the television networks are saying, we don't know where Senator Clinton is gone. We don't know where Senator Clinton is gone. Nobody knew where she was in terms of the television personnel. Could it be that she was going, she had stepped away to try to calm herself from these coughing spells? Now, I'm no medical doctor, but I've never seen anybody cough this uncontrollably. And, you know, if anybody has any input, please give us a call at the number 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We have maybe about 8 minutes left in the show, or 9 minutes left in the show, but it makes you wonder. And then the next question, which is kind of the elephant in the room, which is why I think we haven't seen the Clinton campaign address this, is there something wrong with her health? You know, both she and Donald Trump have talked about their health, and Clinton has, she said, well, I'll release my, every time she starts talking, get asked to release her medical records, she talks about Donald Trump releasing his tax documentation. Touche, Mrs. Clinton, touche. I mean, it does beg the question. What do you think is going on there? I'm not certain, but that certainly, I'm not certain what's going on there, but it does appear that something is going on to where you start coughing and you can't control the coughing. Then I have another issue with Mrs. Clinton I'd like to raise, where there's a clip I'd like to share, because once again, it appears there's a slow drip of more and more information coming out about Hillary Clinton and her time at the State Department. First, you have her State Department coming under investigation, and in light of the imminent investigation, she attempts to get rid of 30,000 emails, saying that, oh, that was just personal emails. Well, we're now learning, no, it's not just personal emails. It includes classified information, includes information about Benghazi. Then we learn about her calendar, to where over half of the visitors, as the AP reported, who came to either meet with her in person or who spoke to Mrs. Clinton by phone, who just magically ended up giving money to the Clinton Foundation that I lovingly refer to as the Corruptin Foundation. Then you have the information about amongst her daily schedules, she would burn over half of them. And now to add to that, we have this. If you can run the next clip.
The fact that the FBI cannot say with regard to her emails that they were not conclusively not totally hacked, that's not a good thing.
No, it's not a good thing. But you know what is a good thing? The release of this report. The Clinton campaign wanted this report to come out. Why? Because the FBI had an exhaustive year-long investigation. They talked to probably dozens and dozens and dozens of people, hours and hours of testimony. And the decision not to recommend prosecution for her was absolutely unanimous. Was it careless? Yes. Was it a mistake? Yes. As Hillary Clinton said, I should not have done this, and if I ever had to do it again, I'd make a different decision.
But was
yes.
it criminal? No.
It was not okay. criminal. Yeah, yeah.
So I guess that's the benchmark now to
go
become
ahead,
president, is not to be
that's
a criminal
not true.
In
it's
jail.
Actually, to be competent,
but let's go through the facts.
Morris is unlike
17,500 emails that she lied about turning over. The server wipe. Within weeks of there being a report that she had a private server, it was wiped. She thought that C, which stands for classified, stood for cookie or something, which stands
that's
for classified.
Not true.
She thought that drone strikes are not classified. She said that the reason she used the private server is for convenience, is that she only had one device. She used 13 BlackBerries, let me finish, and 5 iPads. At least she doesn't just stick to either BlackBerry or iPad. This is somebody who is absolutely disqualified from becoming president. They destroyed BlackBerries with hammers in the State Department. That's not what won the presidency.
Actually,
and
by
the way, Evan Perez. Hammers, fact check that for me, please, on the fly.
Yes, they did, Brooke.
As
you mentioned, there were 13 devices, mobile devices, and 5 iPads that the FBI said that, you know, in some way were used with her private email server. And they did, in some cases, just destroy them with hammers when they were done using them.
That's a pretty good way of destroying a device. That is absolutely not following the rules and regulations of the State Department. You know it. Your 52 reasons just went down to 1. No reasons left. Listen, here's the bottom line here. This is somebody who's disqualified from becoming president. She said that she didn't remember her training
because of
her concussion.
Boris,
does she still not remember things?
These are all facts.
Did I say one thing wrong?
Wow. Did you guys hear that? He goes in and explains she deleted 17,000 emails, including classified documentation. And then the revelation comes to bear that the Clinton aides used hammers to destroy BlackBerries and iPads. I mean, come on. And then did you hear, just as the information concerning the BlackBerries and iPads were being explained, the host of the CNN show, Brooke Baldwin, steps in and tries to save the day for Hillary Clinton and says, can we fact check that on the fly? Can we fact check that immediately? And CNN's own fact checkers confirm that Clinton aides use hammers and BlackBerries to destroy State Department issued communication devices. And this lady, she wants to be president of the United States? To where she uses bleach bit software to not only, and is known as, a digital shredder for email information. She didn't just use, like most you and I and our, you know, our little Outbox software, plus click the delete button. No, she employs digital shredding software. And in light of an impending investigation by the FBI. And yet she wants to be president. I find this astounding. We have some callers, and I definitely want to get to the callers. And if we can weave back and forth with this, I'll start with Buddy from Texas. Buddy, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Good morning.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
No problem.
But it's a sad hour in this day and time that we can have someone like Hillary Clinton, after all the lies, after all the false pretense, and we didn't learn our lesson with her husband. But Hillary Clinton is probably coughing from inhaling too much.
Thank you so much, buddy. Look, we only have a few minutes left, so I'm going to try to get to these callers as best as I can. But thank you for your call. I'm trying to move quickly. Let's go next to Michael in Kansas. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. It was interesting you brought this deal up with her. Her coughing spree, but just yesterday I seen a YouTube video of this guy that put together three or four different clips of her having a seizure.
Huh.
And for some reason a loud noise triggers it. She was standing in a group of reporters and they all started laughing, or they got real loud all of a sudden. Her head just started flipping back and forth.
I saw that.
After they got really loud next to her, and it happened in another rally where everyone started clapping and screaming really loud. She just kind of froze there, and then a guard came up and was going to stick her with some kind of pin to get her back to normal. So there is something going on with her, and that's for sure.
Wow. Thank you so much, Michael, for your call. I appreciate your contribution. Next, we have Jim in Mississippi. And, folks, I'm moving fast because we have a few – literally a minute left. So, Jim, good morning. Welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
All right, good morning. Thank you for your program. Thank you for bringing up out everything you can, you about Hillary and the crooked media. But Hillary sounds like that reaction from Cinepril. You take Cinepril for certain aches and pain, and that's a reaction of that coughing from when you take Cinepril. That's what it sounds like.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you very much, Jim. And one more. We have Kay calling from Kansas. Kay, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes,
I want to suggest that she likes donuts a lot, they say, a gluten intolerance, and the sugar in the donuts doesn't help. You have trouble swallowing if you have a gluten intolerance, and I've had coughing fits from that before, and I'm just thinking that since she likes donuts, maybe that's a possibility.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Kay, for your call. Well, listen, guys, we're coming into the closing moments of the show. I played that last clip. We have a person running for office who used the digital shredder to get rid of emails facing an impending FBI investigation. We have daily calendars that show people who meet her end up giving money to the Corrupting Foundation. We have evidence that shows she burned daily schedules. And now the latest news that we have is that her aides took hammers to BlackBerries and iPads. Once again, it is a crime to destroy State Department property. It is also a crime to send classified information through unsecured channels. Nevertheless, with all of this secrecy, with all of these shrouds of deception, with all of these criminal activities, she nevertheless has the gall to ask you for your vote for president. I don't know about you, but that is bothersome. This is Sandy Rios in the Morning.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.